as discriminatory and hateful toward white people, just as enslavers and segregationists did before them, even if such a bill would actually benefit nearly all Americans, including white people. If racism is eliminated, many white people in the top economic and political brackets fear that it would eliminate one of the most effective tools they have at their disposal to conquer and control and exploit not only non-whites, but also both low-income and middle-income white people. The Americans who have the power to end racism as we know it, to become tough on racism, and to build a post-racial society that the post-racialists actually don't want to see, these people have known the facts throughout the storied lifetime of Angela Davis. Powerful Americans also knew the facts during the lifetimes of Cotton Mather, Thomas Jefferson, William Lloyd Garrison, and W.E.B. Du Bois. It is the primary job of the powerful to know the facts of America. So trying to educate knowledgeable people does not make much sense. Trying to educate these powerful producers or defenders or ignorers of American racism about its harmful effects is like trying to educate a group of business executives about how harmful their products are. They already know, and they don't care enough to end the harm. History is clear. Sacrifice, uplift, persuasion, and education have not eradicated, are not eradicating, and will not eradicate racist ideas, let alone racist policies. Power will never self-sacrifice away from its self-interest. Power cannot be persuaded away from its self-interest. Power cannot be educated away from its self-interest. Those who have the power to abolish racial discrimination have not done so thus far, and they will never be persuaded or educated to do so as long as racism benefits them in some way. I am certainly not stating that there are no Americans in positions of power who have ever self-sacrificed or been educated or persuaded by black uplift or facts to end racial disparities in their sphere of influence. But these courageous anti-racist power brokers are more the exception than the rule. I am certainly not stating that generations of consumers of racist ideas have not been educated or persuaded to discard those racist ideas. But as Americans have discarded old racist ideas, new racist ideas have constantly been produced for their renewed consumption. That's why the effort to educate and persuade away racist ideas has been a never-ending affair in America. That's why educational persuasion will never bring into being an anti-racist America. Although uplift and persuasion and education have failed, history is clear on what has worked and what will one day eradicate racist ideas. Racist ideas have always been the public relations arm of the company of racial discriminators and their products, racial disparities. Eradicate the company, and the public relations arm goes down, too. Eradicate racial discrimination, then racist ideas will be eradicated, too. To get rid of racial discrimination, Americans must focus their efforts on those with the power to eliminate racial discrimination. Protesting against anyone or anything else is as much of a waste of time as trying to educate or persuade powerful people. History has shown that those Americans who have had the power to eradicate widespread forms of racial discrimination have rarely done so. They have done so, however, when they realized on their own that eliminating some form of racial discrimination was in their self-interest, much as President Abraham Lincoln chose to end slavery to save the Union. They have also conceded to anti-racist change as a better alternative than the disruptive, disordered, politically harmful, and/or unprofitable conditions that anti-racist protesters created. Anti-racist protesters have commonly rejected those racist ideas of what's wrong with black people that are used to justify the plight of majority black spaces and the paucity of black people in majority white spaces. The most effective protests have been fiercely local. They are protests that have been started by anti-racists focusing on their immediate surroundings, their blocks, neighborhoods, schools, colleges, jobs, and professions. These local protests have then become statewide protests, and statewide protests have then become national protests, and national protests have then become international protests. But it all starts with one person, or two people, or tiny groups, in their small surroundings, engaging in careful education and persuasion of the powerless, so that they realize black suffering is not self-inflicted, energetic mobilization of these anti-races into organizations, and chess-like planning and adjustments during strikes, occupations, insurrections, campaigns, and fiscal and bodily boycotts, among a series of other tactics to force power to eradicate racist policies. Anti-racist protesters have created positions of power for themselves by articulating clear demands and making it clearer that they will not stop, and policing forces cannot stop them until their demands are met. But protesting racist policies can never be a long-term solution to eradicating racial discrimination and thus racist ideas in America. Just as one generation of powerful Americans could decide or be pressured by protests to end racial discrimination, when the conditions and interests change, another generation could once again encourage racial discrimination. That's why protesting against racist power has been a never-ending affair in America. Protesting against racist power and succeeding can never be mistaken for seizing power. Any effective solution to eradicating American racism must involve Americans committed to anti-racist policies, seizing and maintaining power over institutions, neighborhoods, counties, states, nations, the world. It makes no sense to sit back and put the future in the hands of people committed to racist policies, or people who regularly sail with the wind of self-interest toward racism today, toward anti-racism tomorrow. An anti-racist America can only be guaranteed if principled anti-racists are in power, and then anti-racist policies become the law of the land, and then anti-racist ideas become the common sense of the people, and then the anti-racist common sense of the people holds those anti-racist leaders and policies accountable. And that day is sure to come. No power lasts forever. There will come a time when Americans will realize that the only thing wrong with black people is that we think something is wrong with black people. There will come a time when racist ideas will no longer obstruct us from seeing the complete and utter abnormality of racial disparities. There will come a time when we will love humanity, when we will gain the courage to fight for an equitable society for our beloved humanity, knowing intelligently that when we fight for humanity, we are fighting for ourselves. There will come a time, maybe, just maybe, that time is now. We hope you've enjoyed this novel audio production of Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America by Ibram X. Kendi. Narrated by Christopher Duntrell Piper. Executive producer Michelle Katz. Produced by Spoke Media with direction by Joshua Kumler and Bob Reed. Editing by Mark Moncrief. Quality control by Stephen Gardner. Mastering by Lindsey Graham. Audiobook copyright 2017 by Novel Audio. Print and ebook copyright 2016 by Ibram X. Kendi. Published by arrangement with Aisha Pandey Literary Agency. If you enjoyed this audiobook and want to see our full library of fiction and nonfiction titles, please visit novelaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.